Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, a legacy member of the Jittery Monkey podcast family at JitteryMonkey.com. And of course, happy to be one of numerous, possibly even countless, podcasts on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Of course, SB Nation, home to over 300 various sports sites, all tune to you, the specific fan of that particular team or university, like us at Coordination. My name is Greg Mahochko. I'm flanked by the other two members of the tripod, Haas Reuter, John Dam Johnston. Gentlemen, welcome to another week of the offseason. Are we pulling our hair out yet?
Haas, he says your name. You're supposed to talk before me.
Well, you know,
how do we not have this down?
I was doing the 5 seconds thing.
No, that's at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
It's like praying. I don't know. Meditating before you start.
I want to rip my hair out because we're reaching the point where there's not. Okay. I'm not going to watch the NBA. I'm not going to watch the NHL. Oh. Baseball is not a sport. And so I'm left to choose between games from last season on the DVR, old games on YouTube, and then just doing normal summer activities as a well-socialized 28-year-old adult man.
Can we talk about the NHL?
Wait a minute. No, I want to know what his normal activity is. Like crying over just spending Sunday afternoon crying because you're alone?
Damn, you come in hot tonight.
I'm exhausted. I had a tough day. And when it was a hard day, I had server crashes and they were really bad. I've had a customer go through a malware infection that's been giant now for 2 weeks. They've been stressed. Everybody's stressed. It's been nasty.
That sucks. But projecting your frustration to others is a key determinant of a psychological disorder.
Yeah. And was there any question in that with me? What the hell?
No, I've banked on that for a long time. You know.
I really want a college football-oriented mental illness named after me.
The John Dam Johnston. No, the just JDJ disorder. JDJ.
Yeah, you know, we could come up with something. Maybe by the start of the season.
I'm pretty sure I have the same disorder, so it's all good.
So does that mean we can't talk about hockey?
This is a football podcast.
No, this is a Huskers podcast.
Okay. Football.
We have
what's going on with hockey?
Bangarangs and Daggers has basketball.
But we kind of do. We you got to admit, Haas, we do kind of cover it all here at the Five Heart Podcast. As the flagship podcast of Coronation, we not only do we encompass everything, but we also tend to. You've been doing the show.
So, the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria?
The Santa Maria was the flagship, I believe.
Okay,
hey,
good.
Shit, look at that.
You've been doing this long enough to know that sometimes we don't go off the rails, we just don't ever get on the rails. So if I can ever so briefly mention that the St. Louis Blues are going to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in 49 years, I think that's pretty remarkable.
I guess that's exciting if you're a St. Louis Blues fan.
Much deeper appreciation of hockey. My fandom has grown, and it helps that hey, you know what? Beginning of January, the Blues were the worst team in the league. Now they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals against a team from Boston. So,
Boston Bruins.
Okay, great. You said your bit about hockey. What's next?
So I didn't know this. This is Husker related, or perhaps I should say former Husker related. I'm sure we all saw in the news earlier this week that Ndamukong Suh is at least at the time of this recording, is you know, they're finalizing terms on a 1-year contract that will send him to Tampa Bay to join the Buccaneers. I did not realize that he only signed a 1-year deal with the Los Angeles Rams last year. I thought that that was more long term.
I did not either. I thought that was a longer term deal, and you know, so it looks like he's just going to live out the rest of his career as a hired gun.
Exactly, and you know, that 1-year deal he signed with Los Angeles in March of 2018 was a $14 million. I mean, I would say they ended up going to the Super Bowl. I'd say that that was well worth it for them. And again, we don't know the terms yet of the contract with Tampa Bay, but that should reunite him with another former Husker in Levante David, if I'm not mistaken.
It does.
Or did they not quite
reunite?
Okay, so they didn't quite align in Lincoln.
Sue was done in 09. Levante came in the 2010 recruiting class.
Okay.
They aligned because they part of the family. It's a Husker family. It continues on. It's an infinite line from the beginning of time till the end of time.
Well, no, but I did have my timeline wrong, as I thought that they had. Could you imagine, though, you know, a Husker team that had the both of them on it, on the defensive side of the ball at the same time?
No, I try not to imagine these things because we don't have a defense right now, and it just makes me hurt inside. But thanks for bringing it up.
Okay. It's May 22nd. A lot of people don't have defenses, John.
Yeah, well, we don't have a linebacker like David, do we?
Well, not a lot of people do.
We talked about him, you know, when we did our, you know, ask the get to know the Coronation Crew, you know, Q&A with everybody, and Levante David was. I mean, I still think, you know, as great as he was as a Husker, and you know, he's I think he wears the C. You know, I think he might be a captain or something for Tampa Bay. Is this safe to say perhaps that maybe as far as, you know, in the minds of most Husker fans, he's sometimes forgotten about or you know, underrated just because maybe he didn't play on a championship team? He didn't come in, you know, out of high school. You know, he was a JUCO acquisition, didn't play on a championship team. So it's not like his entire career was spent in Lincoln. I think there's a case to be made that, you know, when you think about, you know, some of the best, you know, Husker defensemen or, you know, or black shirts or, you know, even linebackers, I think sometimes perhaps he's, you know, overlooked.
Again, I don't think he's overlooked at all. I think it's just he's a victim of spending a short time in Lincoln as a JUCO guy. He had some pretty key moments in his career.
You mean like that hit on Braxton Miller?
That one's nice, but probably my favorite one was when he stopped Silas Redd from Penn State on 4th and 1.
Ah, yes.
And then when he made CJ, first name is CJ, I can't remember. But the tight end from Iowa, Fedorowicz, when he made Fedorowicz his booch.
Booch? How do you spell that? How do you spell that? Booch?
It's just a BI-TCH.
Gotcha.
But Fedorowicz came off the line, went out on a little corner route, pushed off on Levante. So that drew the OPI, but Fedorowicz caught the ball and he was running. Levante recovered from getting shucked, ran him down, tackled him, stripped the ball out, and recovered the fumble himself. So it was OPI, caused a fumble, and recovered it all in one play, and it was against Iowa.
I don't think these guys get overlooked. I think it's a generational thing. You know, like my favorite player of all time is Turner Gill. It's really hard for him to be your favorite player of all time because you guys are just pups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, compared to you, John.
You can say like Guy Chamberlain.
Well, I was going to say Bobby Reynolds.
Older.
Guy Chamberlain was a pansy.
What I think is funny, though, is people I remember shortly after, you know, like as in the following year after Lavonte David left Nebraska, people thought Will Compton was this superstar linebacker on the order of Lavonte David. And Will Compton was good, and there's no denying that because the guy's going on, you know, his seventh year in the NFL. But to the level of Lavonte David, no. Like, Lavonte David was that kind of Terrell Farley disruptive playmaker that, you know, played sideline to sideline. Another play that stands out to me is when he stopped Daniel Thomas from K-State on 4th-and-1 on K-State's opening drive in that Thursday night game. That really took the piss and vinegar out of that outfit.
You know, I speaking of Will Compton,
you're going to be doing this 30 years from now. I'm very happy for you. I'm very proud of you. The fact that you can remember all these plays and all these names.
Well, I have an identical memory, much like Sean McVay.
Is that a good thing?
If for the line of work I'm going into, yes.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Speaking of Will Compton, I had a Twitter interaction with him back at the beginning of May. And it wasn't, you know, like, hey, Will, go Big Red, proud of you, all that other, you know, stuff. He tweeted out a picture of, you know, what he was grilling, which is fine, you know. But, you know, it looks like some ribeyes, some vegetables were on the grill, and a Budweiser. And somebody made the comment, you know, like with a gif of somebody walking out and Budweiser and you know, like Budweiser. And he says, STL, stand up, baby. And me being the
volunteer
and me being the beer snob that I am, it's been, you know, recorded here. I commented, I said, Schlafly, which is a better brewery in St. Louis that, you know, doesn't have the, you know, the 150 years and the multi-million or billion dollars in InBev, you know, engine behind it. And he, you know, the other Twitter user, shout out to @WillBlackman, says, yep, some of that Kolsch or IPA, Will has no clue. And Will says, LMAO, you guys are cute. So, I Will called me cute. I'm not going to lie. Melted a little bit right there.
You were flattered.
I was. Yeah, that's all. That's my Will Compton story. That's my only Will Compton story. That's enough.
Well, I don't want to talk negatively on this podcast about players. So I'll say that I really enjoyed watching him make a good NFL career.
I think everybody said he wasn't going to make it in the NFL, and like you're right, it's been 7 years. He's done reasonably well.
Yeah. I was one of those people that thought he wasn't going to make it. And he's developed. He's caught on well. You know, he played under Joe Barry, the linebackers coach for the Redskins, to start his career, and then he's playing for the Titans now under Mike Vrabel. And he's a good linebacker. He's a good NFL linebacker. To get cliche, he's a real lunch pail guy. But I didn't see it coming, and I'm glad to see that he's made something of himself. God, it sounds like I'm just like, God, I never thought he'd amount to anything.
You're sounding like a damn good crotchety old man at the age of 28.
Well, that's what happens when you take a summer class.
Let me point out.
And then your friend gets married on a Thursday afternoon.
Don't get me started on that nonsense. let me throw this
he's
out there.
Good before. People.
I'm sure he is. He's a hoss stealing son of a. Anyway, Will Compton. While we're talking
I'm
about
on the podcast, ain't I? You know?
Huh?
Oh, you're talking about the Colorado game.
Yeah.
Well, that was all me who planned that trip.
Anyway, Will Compton, while we're talking about contracts and whatnot, is a free agent presently. He signed his 1 year deal that he signed with Tennessee was in April of 2018. So unsure as to know where he's going to land in 2019. I'm sure he'll be all right.
Not for sure he was re-signed. That's odd.
According to SpotRack, SpotRac.com, which may or may not be up to date. But anyway, you know what? I'm sure he's doing okay with those six-figure signing bonuses and things like that. So he'll be.
I'm not worried about him.
There you go. Will John Damn Johnston doesn't care about Will Compton. You heard it here on the show, folks. So spring conditioning or you know spring practice obviously is over, but you know guys are still in the weight room, especially some of the younger guys. There was a report out. God, what the hell? Did I just hit puberty? There's a report out. Don't mind me. And a buddy of mine shared this link with me about a couple of Nebraska guys who are in their first offseason, you know, with the program, you know, ahead of their first years, I guess, in Cam Jurgens and Garrett Nelson, who are bulking up, you know, putting on that college weight. And having the benefit of, you know, like a Zach Duvall and a Division One, top tier Division One, you know, strength and conditioning and nutrition program. When you hear that, you know, those are some of the names who are, you know, standing out as far as these, you know, off-season conditionings are going. Do you think that that's because, you know, they're Nebraska kids? I mean, you know, Garrett Nelson committed in, you know, 2 years ago, the Scotts Bluff product and, you know, said he wanted to be a Husker his whole life. The Husker tradition means something to them. Do you think that they're trying a little extra harder? I mean, I think we all can agree that Cam Jurgens, you know, spot, if you will, is secure. He's gonna, you know, find the field plenty of times. But, you know, would you safe to say that it's something about that Nebraska pride that you know these young men are working as hard as they are?
I think that's probably a part of it. Other parts of it are probably fear of not working hard because of, you know, discipline from the strength staff. Other parts of it, they probably just like to lift weights and you know. But the overarching theme, you know, it's a culture of hard work in Lincoln now.
Senior lineman Christian Gaylord is quoted as far as talking about Cam Jurgens, saying he's one of maybe the strongest guy on the team, which is saying something for a redshirt freshman who, you know, was coming off what, an ankle injury or you know, knee injury, yeah, or something, you know,
ankle foot injury.
So I don't go to the gym. I mean, that's pretty apparent. John hasn't been to the gym in decades. So Haas, as the gym guy, I mean, the lower half of the body is paramount as far as building that foundation. And how tough is it to come back from a you know, foot or ankle injury and you know, get back into the weight room and feel 100%?
It's one of those things that takes some time. His injury occurred back in like the late half of October, maybe, when he first made the switch to center. So he had some time to heal up, but still, when you're talking like stress, I think it was stress fractures in his foot, you're talking about, you know, a lot of weight when you're doing squats or some of the Olympic lifts from the ground. You're talking a lot of weight, you know, being on the bone structure of the foot. So that I've never had an injury like that while I've been lifting. So I really can't speak to, you know, how long it would take to recover, but I have to imagine that he had to probably be brought along carefully, just because there are times I get done, you know, with squats and I have, you know, 2 feet without any, you know, previous history of foot injuries. And it's like, man, like my feet fucking hurt. Like the bones feel like they're pressing out, you know, the pads of my feet. So yeah, I mean, it's impressive for him to get back, not only get back to his previous level of strength, but now to be maybe considered the strongest guy on the team and at the center position to boot, you know, that makes me pretty happy.
John,
I got nothing. I've never been injured lifting.
John,
I've practically never been injured.
I thought you know what I mean? John, I thought
John,
you were going to say
the Richard Simmons aerobic videos.
No, I don't need to do any of that
did
stuff.
Did you do the Jane Fonda Buns of Steel back in the day?
But I did.
I bet. I bet you rock some steel buns, big boy.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now seems like a good time to take a break. Right? Compose ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
This break brought to you by Blue Chew.
You know, it's funny you say that, Hoss. not only is it, the same active ingredient that works in Viagra and Cialis, and it's much cheaper, and it's a little less perhaps embarrassing because you don't have to go see a doctor. You can do it all online, BlueChew.com. But it's going to improve your performance. It's a chewable, and you can use it on...
Oh, my God!
Now, hold on. You can use it on a full or empty stomach. The results are the same. It usually takes about 15 minutes to... get your gimmick going, and as I threw this tagline out to Hoss, I think he was a big fan of it. When you use Blue Chew, she'll be saying, "Go big dick." We'll be back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Vive Heart Podcast. Greg Mahochko, Hoss Reuter, John Dam Johnston, and a couple other news and notes. Let's start with the potential availability. I don't know if it's potential. I don't know how set in stone it is. I just see under news items in our little show notes, it says alcohol in Memorial Stadium, comma, for the rich. John, that sounds like something you would put down.
I did put that in there, didn't I?
What can you tell us about rich people getting hammered at Memorial Stadium?
Okay, well, apparently there was an article in the OWH, the Omaha World Herald, this week that Bill Moose would consider allowing alcohol in, like, the skyboxes and the L-O-G-E. I don't know what that is.
Loge?
What's that?
It's the loge. It's a particular, like, layer of seats, usually...
Let's just call it the bourgeoisie.
Yes, the rich people, in other words. Which, you know, first of all, can we stop this bullshit where we pretend there's no alcohol on campus?
Oh, people are getting lit.
Wait a minute, for years
there was alcohol. You go into the lots and there's bottles everywhere. And I'm not talking about let's go tailgating and have a tailgate and be nice. Let's pretend like we're the most fantastic motherfuckers on the planet. Like, people haven't left broken bottles behind for students for years to deal with. And get out of the lots and go into Memorial Stadium. And you're going to tell me that there isn't alcohol in the skyboxes? What you're telling me is that it's not being formally sold in the skyboxes, so we're not making revenue off of it. And you're going to tell me there's no alcohol in, like, the Champions Club? And I'm going to say, did you avert your eyes at every bad thing that possibly might have ever happened in your life so you could pretend the world's full of goodness and sweetness? I mean, that's just bullshit. So for him to come out in an article and say, well, we're going to have it, but only for the rich people, that's really what that is. It's just crap.
I bet they're going to start with that and then see how it goes and go out from there.
I'm sure that he made the statement just to see what the reaction, you know, the feedback would be.
Well, I mean, this is a serious
all those
question.
Rich dentists. Oh, wait,
what's that?
Creighton. All those rich dentists. Wait, that's Creighton.
Yeah.
This is a serious question, and I don't, I hope it doesn't come across as a snarky or anything like that, but how long until Tom Osborne would, you know, be asked, maybe he not to say he doesn't care, but how long until he would be asked by somebody in the media, yeah, Dr. Osborne, what's your take on this statement? I mean, because that's always the go-to.
Friday at 5.
Right. I mean, that's always the go-to. And I remember years ago when I was in Shadron and you know, reporting news and sports and things like that on the radio, and there was, I believe, you know, when this was when Osborne was a congressman, and there was a story about how he was trying to get beer sale or beer advertising, you know, things like that off of, you know, college sports. He's like, it doesn't belong, and whatever the exact statement was, I don't remember. It's been, you know, I've slept since then. So, but that seems to be the go-to for Nebraska media, is it not? It's, well, something came out. Yeah. It may or may not be controversial. Let's get Osborne's take. He's retired. Let the guy enjoy retirement. Quit involving him in things that, no offense, don't concern him.
Yeah, but you have to, because he's the leader of our religion.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. This is all about, you know, pretending we're teetotaling, pretending that we're honestly church-going people when we go to Memorial Stadium, our cathedral, and we watch a sporting event, which is why we struggle so much with other fans.
I'm glad you brought that up, John. It's a perfect segue to our next topic. Because as we mentioned in the first half of the show, Haas has decided with friends of his who are not Five Heart Podcast co-hosts, that those three or four or however many are going to be making the trip to Boulder, Colorado for the game against the Buffaloes, where I invited him to Champaign, and you as well, John, to partake of a game in my native land. And he said, well, maybe if I can't score tickets to the CU game. Well, lo and behold, I saw on Twitter he was very excited that he scored tickets to the Colorado-Nebraska game. And I said, so does this mean you're out for Champaign? And he pretty much is like, yeah, fuck you, dude. I'm going to Colorado, and I'm going to drink Coors Banquet where Coors Banquet is brewed, and I'm never coming back. That's pretty much what he said. Haas,
I'll probably come back.
I mean, I wouldn't want to stay in Colorado any longer than I had to.
You know, but they have mountains.
It's a fine state. I like Colorado. Boulder's a nice little burg. I got
nobody can afford to live in Vail or Aspen anymore, but they have mountains.
Hell, I went to a Safeway grocery store in Winter Park last August, and I think a 18-pack of Coors cost me like $22.
So,
God, that had to feel like you were being robbed.
Yeah, it felt like I was being asked to bend over.
But it does harken back to, you know, not harken back. Let me rephrase. This is something that we started talking about before the tape was rolling tonight. And that was, you know, have you been to a game in Boulder, Haas?
I have not. I've been to Boulder, but not for a game.
So let's talk about, because if you listen to our esteemed colleagues / friends, former colleagues, still friends, over at the Big Red Cobcast, you know, they're looking forward to that game at Colorado. And I think Tweety said something about wanting to start a fight. Or get, you know, a fight picked at him. He wants to fight somebody in Boulder, which is fine, you know, for him.
See, but I subscribe to the Will Smith from Men in Black theory. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
But let's every bad experience since John, have you ever taken in a game in Boulder?
In Boulder, no.
So,
all right.
I saw a Devo concert once there in the 80s.
Did you whip it?
You're damn right I did.
Did you whip it good?
Of course. It's redundant with me. If it's going to be whipped, it's going to be good.
You know, that reminds me. There's a place.
Don't remind you. Keep on track. You guys verve off these things, and then my mind goes down a rabbit hole.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about this place in St. Louis called GW Meats. It's GW Meat and Bavarian Style Sausage Company. And their radio ad says, nobody's going to beat our meat.
It's like
No, that's on the radio.
There's a Just Good Meat on 84th and L in Omaha. They have their sign says, you can't beat our meat.
It's tremendous. It really is.
But back on the topic of Boulder.
On the topic of Boulder.
Yeah, so I've never taken in a game there, obviously.
Everyone's heard the horror stories, though.
Yeah. The horror stories.
My grandma got pushed over by five Colorado students with blood streaking their faces who were howling at the moon.
What was it like?
Our
cars were vandalized.
Was it like the
pee-filled bombs thrown at us?
Bags of urine at us.
Right. Yeah.
Marshmallows with batteries and coins stuffed in them. All those things.
They never offered me a single edible.
But here's the thing.
They could now, John.
As a fairly educated individual, I've reached the conclusion of I have never met somebody who firsthand experienced abuse and the atrocities at the hands of Colorado fans. It's always my mother's cousins, brothers, fathers, you know, that kind of thing.
The 6 degrees of separation.
Yes. Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome. Happy to
have you. So, therefore, I've arrived at the conclusion that while I'm sure their fans can be, you know, vulgar.
Obnoxious, dirtbag, scum of the earth bastards.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm sure they can be all those things that John just eloquently laid out for us. I'm starting to feel like some of these horror stories delve more into the realm of urban legend than actually ever occurring. I mean, for crying out loud, you'd think Husker fans are John McClane wearing the sandwich board at the beginning of Die Hard with a Vengeance when we played Colorado out in Folsom.
You mean marked for death?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've gone to Madison twice. I think I've pointed that out in past podcasts.
Yeah, and
I've enjoyed that
trip. About this earlier, you've told me, like, road games in hostile environments have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, because the honest truth is if you don't have a sense of humor, you're going to get into a fight, possibly. And it's never good. I mean, if your sense of humor will always keep you out of things or at least not escalate things.
Yeah, it can diffuse the situation.
Yeah. But, you know, when I've heard from a lot of Husker fans also that they were not treated very well in Madison and that the students swore at them and threw things at them. Students always walked up to me and said, fuck Nebraska, to which I would respond, fuck Wisconsin. And then we were good friends. But that goes back to what I said earlier about Nebraska. Football being a religion, when we go to our events, we're attending a religious event. That's why we can't handle any change to that event. Like, oh my God, they're changing the tunnel music. It's sacrilege. You know, oh my God, they might get rid of the balloons. Sacrilege. Wisconsin fans, when they go to a football game, they're attending a sporting event, a social event. They don't have these same problems. You know what I mean?
So
now you could say the Colorado fans, they're attending,
a rave.
Yeah, a rave. There you go. That's probably good, better than what I was going to say.
Can we delve deep? And I'm going to say this without sounding, you know, condescending. That's my hope anyway. But is that just because Husker football is all that area has? I mean, if you go to Madison, well, you know, they have the Packers. They have, you know, for lack of a better term, Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they have other, you know, Brewers. You know, they have other options, but you've got to drive, 4 hours to Kansas City if you want to watch, you know, the Chiefs play or the Royals.
You mean you think it's a religion because that's the only thing we have?
I think that plays a part. I think it's a factor.
No, it does not. It is not.
Well, that's why I wanted to delve deeper into it, John. Damn.
Do you know why it is? It's because for many years, the biggest rivalry in all of college sports was Nebraska versus Oklahoma. Okay?
But here's the thing. That whole myth of Nebraska-Oklahoma being based in respect and dignity and all this stuff, that's an OU fan construct after we started kicking their ass in the 90s.
I think it is, too.
Because before that, I heard that Nebraska-Oklahoma was just as nasty. you know, is like Nebraska, Colorado, or like what Nebraska, Iowa is probably going to tend towards in the coming years. It wasn't this cute, oh, the battle of the big reds. We respect each other so much. Like, yes, yeah, Switzer and Devaney were friends, and Switzer and Osborne were friendly, but it wasn't this big old family reunion.
No, it wasn't a family. Here's the other thing. The reason why we see it as a religion is because when we played Oklahoma, it was from a certain perspective, it was our morality, which was running a clean program and never, never cheating against that evil Barry Switzer, that son of a bitch who cheated all the time.
Even though we
probably
Even though we probably did much of the same things that Barry Switzer was doing.
You, there should be like one of your hands turning into fire right now.
I quit believing in fairy tales when I was about 8.
Well, you know, but a lot of people do. They romanticize the past. You know, that's what we do with the past. I bring that up a lot. So, and I'm not going to quit bringing it up.
So, I mean, I don't say this to argue or dispute anything that you're saying, John. You're older. You're wiser than I.
Yes.
But you don't think that, for lack of a better term, the isolation and lack of options didn't play at least a minor part in the obsession or the religion, you know, not to sound sacrilegious, but that religious aspect, you know, as you said, you know, Husker football is a religion and the cathedral's Memorial Stadium. You don't think that the lack of options didn't play any factor in that?
Well, maybe it had some to do with it because you didn't have other voices in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, even when you look at the NFL, there's a certain level of, you know, the Packers versus the Vikings. They look at each other as evil. And then both of them look at Chicago and go, well, we can at least not fight at games. But we're going to kill those bastards.
Well, hell, look at places like Alabama, state of Alabama, you know, with Alabama and Auburn, or state of Georgia, Georgia Tech, or LSU down Louisiana. There are options down there. There are pro sports, stuff like that. The following, the dogma of those programs that fans subscribe to, it's just the same as here in Nebraska. You know, maybe they don't do as much pearl clutching at things that they see as uncouth in college football, but you know, rabid fandom is rabid fandom. That's why I've always gotten annoyed with the Colorado fans who are so rabid, but then they'll turn around and be like, oh, you just follow your program because there's nothing else to do. We have mountains. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, well, if you have mountains, why are you investing time on a Colorado message board, you know?
Yeah. You could be on a mountain doing an edible.
Thinking about the universe. Dropping some acid and listening to John Denver.
Or Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'm going to Boulder.
John. Fly out there and be credentialed at the game.
Oh, God.
That would be kind of a God.
Could you imagine John with an edible in the press box? Or not on the press box, on the field taking pictures?
Yeah, they
would. Oh, my God.
We're going to get some.
Let's see who would be there. Really? I'd be there. Are the Comcast guys going?
Yeah.
So they'd be there. I'm sure Ty Peteronitz, our former ally, former loyal Cornation soldier, will be there, as he's from Boulder originally.
Yeah.
I just picture if John was, if that scenario played out, how many pictures of the clouds we would have?
Probably 140,000 photos of Colorado cheerleaders, actually, is what you'd get.
Oh my gosh, John, behave yourself.
I'm sorry, yes.
So anyway, you know, I was glad we were able to have that chat. I don't feel like, I feel like all points were thoroughly made, and I do believe that it, you know, as much flack as I might take for this in the comments, although nobody comments, so you know, whatever. I do believe that the, I don't want to say lack of better options or anything like that. I don't want to sound disparaging, but you know, just the fact that there's not a major market with a pro team, you know, in you know, within walking distance, but a stone's throw away. Like I said, you got to go to Kansas City for the nearest one, and you got to go to St. Louis for the nearest one worth a damn. So I don't know. I think it did play a factor, especially in the days before, you know, like the internet. So when the world was a little smaller, bigger, whatever the internet did, what the internet made the world smaller. So I think when pre-internet, I think it did play a factor. So that's me. That's my take. You got a problem with it? Lay it down in the comments.
I think it's relative to whether you've had the edible and you look at your thumb and go, one atom could be an entire universe, man. Okay. Right, I've never done any of those.
I want our listeners, all seven of them.
Oh, no. We have a lot of listeners. They just don't have any interaction.
And Colorado fan horror story from Folsom Field. Firsthand. I don't want the 6 degrees of separation crap. Put it in the comments.
Let's
get the show.
Could we do
or email it? Call the phone line.
Yeah.
Call the phone line.
Let's do this. Use your
East
voice.
Of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah. if you have a firsthand, you know, putting up with the assholes in Boulder story, call 402-327-1830. That is our direct line. Leave a voicemail. We love to hear your story on next week's show. 402.
You could also call us about Wisconsin.
You can call us about anything. You can call us and ask about.
I think we have to be specific.
So I'm going to call that voicemail line after we roll up, you know, half a hundred on Colorado out in Boulder.
Yeah. Because that's what everybody needs is Hoss about 12 Coors Banquets deep and in a bar somewhere, probably singing Margarita. Be like, hold on, I'm going to get this on the show next week.
I'd be Pirate Looks at 40, not Margaritaville.
Whatever. I'm sorry, Margaritaville.
We're always so picky.
Well, here's the thing. Margaritaville, I've worked at you know, radio stations of different formats, be it country or, you know, like a quote-unquote soft rock or classic rock as well. Margaritaville is the only song that I've played on every radio station I've ever worked at. It's across all genres. It's a horrible song, and Jimmy Buffett should be ashamed.
It is a bad song, and I like
it. It's a great song, as long as I don't have to hear it 3 million times.
Speaking of, and I don't know, I mean, I know the story, but the St. Louis Blues, I think I mentioned earlier this week, won Game 6 and are advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals. They're like
I didn't hear this.
No, yeah. So their celebration song after a win, you know, they pipe it in at the Enterprise Center there in St. Louis, you know, and they always play it in the locker room. But it's Laura Branigan's Gloria. You can go online and find out why it's Gloria. I'm not going to rehash that story. But the station in St. Louis that, you know, airs Blues hockey was doing 24 hours of Gloria on Wednesday, the day after they advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals. So if you are that big of a Blues fan or that big of a Laura Branigan Gloria fan, you could have listened to that for 24 hours. I can't do 24 hours of A Christmas Story. I don't know how anybody could do 24 hours of Gloria.
You know, I was just thinking, after we roll up half a hundred on them and I'm in some Boulder establishment drinking Coors Banquet and celebrating a win and watching college football, we get up there and sing a James McMurtry song called No More Buffalo. And I'm willing to bet I'm probably going to have to fight my way out of that.
Yes, yeah, I would bet you would too.
Better hit the squats and deadlifts a little extra hard the day before I leave.
Take
what you need
you.
To do is actually not do that and then not have to spend your money on bail so you can buy really just cases of fresh Coors Banquet.
Loaded up in the,
yeah,
of the car, just like right. Smokey and the Bandit.
Can I ask a question, Hoss, while we're talking about road trips? When you road trip, do you rent a vehicle or do you prefer to take your own?
Well, I work at Enterprise, so I rent with the nice employee discount. And I drive a 4Runner that's 18 years old, in great shape, but it only has a 12.5-gallon gas tank. So I'd be stopping every 240 miles to get gas.
So this is me asking because I'm going to be taking a road trip this summer. We'll have to figure out the recording schedule.
Yep. You'd have to stop every 248 miles to let everybody piss.
No, no. When I travel, it's road warrior. I mean, I'm talking, you know, let's put about 300 miles behind us before
we start. So nobody in the car drinks?
Oh, we drink. You just got to hold it.
Oh,
let me ask, from a vehicle usage standpoint, if one is going to road trip, is it better to use one's own vehicle or rent one for the duration of the trip, like a week or whatever?
Depends on how old your vehicle is.
2016.
What kind of car?
Chrysler Town and Country.
Oh, man, you take that thing on a road trip. Oh, those vans are awesome for road trips.
Okay. I mean, we did it.
I would guess that if you're going to Boulder and you have Nebraska plates, though, you would want to rent a car.
That's also why I'm renting as well.
Yeah.
I'm an employee, so I have to take the insurance with my rental. Right. I rent, so it's like, if this thing gets vandalized, if those rumors are true, well, looks like I'm just going to turn the keys into them and not my pig, not my farm.
See, that's your – mine always was not my circus, not my monkeys.
I have never heard either of these phrases.
Obviously, John, you haven't spent enough time passing the buck and or the blame.
No, I'm usually the guy that gets blamed for everything.
For the gander.
A rising tide raises all boats. That's not the same thing.
Ships.
Speaking of all the boats on the tide, if you enjoyed the Five Heart podcast, then you subscribe via Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Overcast. We're on Overcast, if you can believe that. I didn't know Overcast was a thing until Coronation alum David McGee told me about it a few years ago. Podbean, we're on a few of those. But if you do subscribe, you're also getting Of Bangarangs and Daggers, the Nebraska ball podcast starring Patrick Gerhart and Nate McHugh. So
Nate Dogg and Patrick G.
So those are that is the rising tide that raises all boats, give or take that statement that I just misquoted. So that'll be it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. I think we've worn out our welcome, and I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. I'm calling it a night. Guys, it's a pleasure. It always is.
Yeah, go get some sleep.
I'm going to, because I got another long day tomorrow. Not quite 3:30 in the morning long, but probably 5 o'clock in the morning long. So that extra hour and a half, let me tell you, that really recharges the old batteries. So, John, any final words of wisdom from someone your age?
It's 4-1 Nebraska over Minnesota in the first game of the Big Ten baseball tournament. And I am really looking forward to us making some noise this offseason. I really want us to do well in this tournament and, you know, first or second and make the championship game and then win some NCAA tournament games. So people would shut the fuck up about firing Darren Erstad. That's my final thought.
I like it. I'm at it. Haas, what final thoughts do you have this evening?
My final thoughts are, I wish this offseason was over.
I cannot argue with that. My final
and
thought.
I need to squat 500 pounds by the end of the year.
I can't help you with that. Sorry, you're on your
own. Yeah, I know you can't. Emotional, moral support.
That I can do. I don't even know how to coach you on that. What do they say? Stick your butt out a little bit more?
Yeah, break at the hips, then at the knees. Keep your head neutral, not looking up, not looking down. Shoulders squeezed back so the bar's resting across your traps. Take a deep breath in. Go down.
Sorry.
Back up. Exhale.
Well, it sounds like you have everything covered. What do you need me for?
Yeah. Oh, just, you know, it's going to be a long slog to get there.
Well, I will do my best, Chief.
Yeah, I know. Who needs therapy when you got the Five Heart Podcast?
We provide this type of therapy free for you, the listener, every week because that's what SB Nation really wanted us to do when we signed on officially. So that'll be it for
somehow
this.
They all licensed us as mental health practitioners.
Yeah. And they said, Meetings are weekly. Don't mess it up. Content is king. That is it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. For my esteemed colleagues, Hoss Reuter, John Dam Johnston, I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you that this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go, Big Red!
Squat deep, squat heavy, squat often, and keep winning the damn offseason.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.